All right, we're here. We're in a hotel room in
back on the road,
Spokane, Washington. We are back on the road. This is our first episode back on the bus, and we're in Spokane. We've had really great coffee in Spokane.
Oh my word! It's right here. I'm holding one right now.
What is it called?
This one is...
No, the place is First
Avenue.
Oh,
First Avenue.
First Avenue Coffee. Fun fact, my little cousin used to work there, apparently. She was like, I saw you posted you were at my old job. I used to work at that coffee shop. And I was like, that's cool.
You know, I saw a sign in there when I left today that in 2023, they were voted friendliest staff.
Cuties!
And I would argue still holds true to today.
Yeah, I like them. They were great. We've been in there every single day for the past 3 days.
I've easily had 10 coffees from them already.
In a day, yeah.
I did do four on one day.
Drinks a lot of coffee.
They're so good. I'm trying to remember. This one I'm drinking right now is their like cherry amaretto something or another.
Are you liking it?
I do. She let me taste the syrup before she made a whole coffee.
She didn't offer me any of that. I bought four different coffees just to taste them. She happily charged me for all four coffees.
You were talking to the wrong person.
Oh my gosh. But Alex and I are both out here just doing community service, feeding the homeless.
They really are.
Today I ordered two coffees because I wanted to taste them. I got the one that I always order every day for the past 3 days. That orange, what is it?
It's like an orange blossom,
orange
honey
zest with honey and something else.
Delicious.
Yeah, it was so good. I got that again, and then I you know those pour over machines they have at front, they look totally unused. I'm like, maybe they're broken. I'm like, do you guys don't do pour over? She goes, yeah, we do. I was like, oh. And then I was looking at the menu, and she's like, the peach one. She's like, I've never had anything like it. It's so good. I was like, oh my god. Well,
hand it over.
Yeah, yeah, let's get me one of them pour over. So then I had two coffees, and we're walking down the street, and then I saw a lady looking very cold sitting on the bench in, you know, 16 degree weather. And I was like, well, this is not fair. I got two hot coffees and she's got no hot coffees. Mm-hmm. And so I just asked her, I was like, do you want a hot coffee? She goes, yeah. And I was like, okay, do you want a latte or black? And she goes, ooh, latte. And I was like, here you go. So I gave her my latte. I'd already experienced that latte twice. It was fine. But no, and then Alex, you want to come tell everybody how you're doing community service out here?
Yeah.
In Spokane.
You might remember Alex from the last episode.
Oh, yeah. I remember Alex.
We introduced him.
You probably watched the episode like 10 times at this point.
super stud. What did you describe yourself? Super stud? Super hot stud?
Describe myself.
I think the social media team put that together.
I'm pretty sure you're on the social media team.
Yeah.
That's yet to be seen. So I've done two acts of service. last night I ordered a Caniac combo from Cane's to be delivered at the bus at right around midnight. Perfect time to eat dinner.
Let me hold this. 'Cause I have some interjections for this.
Road life.
We're all sleeping at this point. Yep. Alex
and it's not
is
even
the
only a show
one.
Day.
And you know what's funny is Rosie woke up in the middle of the night. And so I got up to like soothe her, and then I left the door open because she was already going back to sleep. And then I see the other door open to the front room. And then here comes Alex fully clothed just at midnight, like frantically. But I mean like jeans. You weren't in your PJs. You were like.
It was so cold I didn't put on PJs. I slept in my jeans and my sweatshirt.
It is cold here. Okay, so then he comes in and he's frantically searching in his bunk, the bunk across. So what were you searching for last night at like 12:30?
Probably. My laptop bag, probably. Yeah.
You were like frantic with your flashlight and everything. And I was like, poor guy. But I was in the black, dark abyss trying to put Rosie down, watching you freak out up there.
You're like, he's got it. He'll figure it out.
All right. So continue.
So yeah. So I ordered the Caniac combo right at midnight. It said it would arrive around 12:20. Two dashers went and they were unable to purchase it because I guess they didn't have like their dash card set up. That's what the second one said. So then I do what any normal person does around 12:30, 1 o'clock. I fell asleep accidentally in full jeans and a sweatshirt. And then a dasher picked up my order and they left it right outside the bus. 'Cause that's where I said that I'd meet them. And they sent me a photo of it. 1:30, the Caniac combo right outside there. I woke up at 5:30 in a cold sweat, like, oh, my Caniac combo. So, you know, after 4 hours of sitting out there, I was like, this is the perfect time for me to eat a frozen Caniac combo. And I went to grab it and it wasn't there. So I assumed that, you know, some lucky guy or gal got my Caniac combo. And then earlier in the night also, I was walking onto the bus and a gentleman asked me if I had any money for a joint, a marijuana joint, because right outside our bus is a weed shop. And I was like, you could, of course, I got cash for that, brother. So gave him a solid $5 because that's all I had. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. And then I got on the bus. He was like, you're the guy with the bus. And I was like,
you're the rock star.
I was like, damn right. My bus, brother. You enjoy that, huh? Puff from.
You're so stupid.
You're like, what else do you need, my guy?
That's hilarious. I remember one time, a long time ago, I'm in my early 20s, and I'm walking down the street, and this is on Western in Hollywood, where, you know, it's just sketch.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm walking down. I think I had an audition or something, and I had to park millions of blocks away. So I'm walking down Western, and there was a homeless guy there that was like, you got any cash? I need to get something to drink. And I'm like, are you just going to get beer? And he goes, I'll be honest. Yeah, I'm just going to get some beer. And I was like, what kind of beer are you going to get? And then he was like, I don't know, whatever I could afford. And I was like, well, what's your favorite kind? He's like, ah, man, Budweiser. And I give him like $10. I'm out here, go get a Budweiser. And he's like, oh, thanks, man. Sometimes. Now, though, I probably win. I'm not so fun now. Yeah. I'd be like, you're going to get beer? No. Go get food. Sustenance.
There was one time a lady asked me to buy her a pack of cigarettes, and I said no, simply because I didn't know how to do that. And I was like, and I was stressed, and I was like,
pack of six, please.
Hey, you got a pack of them reds?
Pack of the reds. Put it in the bag.
Does that come with a lighter?
You're so dumb. Okay, so yeah, we're in Spokane. Good times over here. It's cold. We're on a brand new bus. The brand new bus heating system doesn't work properly. That's great. So you were either freezing or too hot. So last night, Alex was freezing. Were you freezing last night?
I was freezing, yes. I grabbed a second comforter. But then this morning, I got hot.
Something's wrong. It's like you're hot or you're freezing.
Yeah. So there's that.
The heater was on in your guys' bunk area. We didn't turn it on, but when heater? I got on, it said heat, and it was trying to raise itself from like 56 degrees to 68.
Yeah, I definitely felt the 56 degrees. That's for sure.
Yeah.
100%. And then the night before, I literally was chattering. I was like,
oh, you poor thing. Yeah. I brought my extra blanket from home. Plus, I used the blanket from Rosie's bunk.
Yeah, I grabbed the blanket from Alex's.
And I also have the warmth of Bonzo's body against mine.
He was pretty precious this morning when he was in my bunk.
Cutie.
All curled up. And then I said, we got to get up. We got to go.
Yeah, my shin. Team.
We got to skedaddle.
Team dog. All right. So we're on the family reunion tour. We're approaching the end, you guys. This is the end, the last run. This
it's been almost
last
a year.
Yeah. Yeah, because we started March 7th. My gosh. So by the time this comes out, will it have been? No, this is coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's coming out next week.
Yes.
Never mind. We've lost our bank of episodes. We took a long break for the holidays. We banked some episodes, took a little break, and now we're back. Okay, so we're approaching the end of the tour. What's cool about this portion of the family reunion tour is I'm having some family reunions is what's happening. So this last leg started in San Jose. That's where I'm from. All my family is there. Old friends, and it was great to see so many people. How many people were on the guest list, do you think, for a show?
I easily had 30 per show. Two per shows. Show.
Yeah.
So 30-ish. It was like 32 or 31.
30. I had everybody from like family, like aunts, uncles, cousins there. I had my old Pop Warner cheerleading coach there. Mm. I had my old friend from the neighborhood, her mom and siblings there. I wrote about her in my book. She passed away when she was 8 years old in a car crash. And that was my first person that I experienced dying in my life. We were in second grade, I believe. She got in a car accident. And she was like one of my best friends. We were lived by each other in the neighborhood, a few streets away in the neighborhood. We would play at each other's house all the time. We were in Campfire together. Campfire is the poor man's Girl Scouts. And so we were just really good friends. Like, I have pictures of us when we were that little at each other's birthday parties at, Chuck E. Cheese and Bullwinkles. Did you guys have Bullwinkles?
Like the cartoon?
Yeah. They had a Bullwinkle place, like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, no. I know Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And like Dave and Buster's, but I don't know.
Back in the day.
We also had Nickel-Rama. You know Nickel-Rama? Mm-hmm. Everything's a nickel.
Cute.
I know. It's pretty like adorable.
It. It's affordable.
It is.
Anyway, I wrote about her in my book. That's where I think my fear of death first started, probably.
I'm no therapist, but I would put money on it.
I'm no therapist, but...
I would bank on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so... Anyway, she's always been somebody very special to me that I always think about. And when I wrote about her in my book, I looked for her mom to reach out to her mom to let her know that I was writing about her in my book. And then also kind of like get her blessing.
Yeah.
Like if she did not want this happening.
Doesn't want people to know about it.
We don't need it. Let's take this out. Mm-hmm. We don't need this. So my sister helped me find her. And we got her email, and I sent her an email out of the blue. And again, I hadn't talked to her since who knows when. And when I found her, and I wrote the email, and I had it sitting for, I don't know, maybe like a week. And I was like nervous to send it to her. And I was like, I don't want her to receive this email and it like bum her out and like
trigger
something of the blue out of nowhere bringing this up. So I sat on it for a while, and then I remember right before I sent it, I prayed and I was like, God, let this email just bless her, like out of the blue, remind her that her beautiful daughter is not forgotten. Somebody's thinking about her, you know what I mean? Like, that's gotta feel special. But also, I don't know what's going on in her life,
totally,
and everything. So I just sent it a nice little prayer, and I was like, God, let this email do what it do, be on it, and there you go, amen. Right. Send it. She got back to me, and it just so happened, me waiting that long to send it, she received it the next day. Was her birthday. So she got it the night before her birthday.
Her mom's birthday?
Before Lisa's birthday. Lisa's the daughter who passed away.
Wow.
So she ended up getting this email.
You didn't even realize?
I had no idea.
Wow.
Had no idea. So she was like, tomorrow's her birthday. And just like wild how that all worked out. But she was so grateful and so like, you know, grateful that I thought about her and I still think about her. Grateful that I wrote about her in my book. And I had invited her to, you know, next time I come to a show, blah, blah, blah. And so then we ended up keeping in touch after that. And this is wild too. This is a bummer news, but, so her daughter died in an accident, and she's a teacher at an elementary school. And then there was a big news story, maybe like a few months after this, where a little kid was hit by a car walking across the street at her school that she teaches at. And it was one of her students that passed away. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's like, all the kids were having like such a hard time with this. And I'm like, but how incredible is it that they have you, somebody who walked through this with your own baby, to now be there to comfort these little kids in a way that, you know, they don't know how to deal with this. Mm-mm. I clearly didn't know how to deal with it. And, you know, stuck with me. So anyway, we kept in touch, and she came out to my show when we were at San Jose Improv, and then now she came out to the show at the San Jose Civic, and she brought her other two daughters and their spouse. And anyway, so I had so many family members, childhood friends. My oldest friend from third grade, Tiffany, was there. It's one of those moments where I invite people that I haven't seen in a long time, even if I'm not everyday friends with them, because it's such a special experience to be like the girl from the neighborhood that grew up and did this cool thing and is now at this like huge venue doing stand-up comedy. Like, so I was like, who can I invite and like put on my guest list and like let them know that I think about them, that I'm grateful for them in my life, and I know that this is like such a special experience. And so many of those people like were like, thank you so much for thinking of us. Like, wow, yeah. Thank you, you know? So that was fun. And I had some family. So I talk about my family reunion in this hour. And obviously it's the family reunion tour, but I explain like how our reunion happens. And this is my mom's side of the family that does the reunion. And so there were some cousins there from the reunion that are not like my immediate, like first cousins. They're like from the other parts of the tree, you mm-hmm. know, and yeah. they were there. So this was their first time hearing me talk about the reunion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's fun.
Yeah. They were both like very, they're like, it was like emotional, like yeah. hearing you talk about our family and like what we yeah. do. And like, even though it's, you know, it's in jest that I'm talking about it, it's still talking about the Ameri, talking about the last of the elders mm-hmm. and, you know, all of that. They were like, yeah, I got really emotional. And the part where I talk about my cousins that matched on the app, which you'll come to my show or yes. you'll see my hour special. Yes. And you'll hear about my cousins who matched on an app. The moms were there.
Oh, funny.
The two moms were there and the girl cousin who matched, but the boy cousin who matched, he was not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I bet she was dying.
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 And I told her, well, my brother told her that I talk about that story yeah. on stage. And good thing she was okay with it. Because I really didn't want to let that story go.
It's a good story.
It's a really good story. I was like, I hope she don't get mad, but she was okay with it. And then I saw her the day before the show and I was like, you ready for your shout out? And she's like, I didn't know what you meant. Like, I thought you were going to like say my name or something. And I was like, no, girl, you don't want me to say your name in the story. but she was like, as soon as I saw her after the show, she goes, Angela, I was sweating. Oh my gosh. And her mom was like, she was sinking lower and lower in the chair as you were telling the story. So good.
See, that's why she didn't say your name.
Yeah.
No one knew.
I know.
So funny.
But so fun to like tell the stories and the people are there.
Yeah.
Like for her, that was specifically her. And right. then for my other cousins about the family reunion, it's not specifically them, but it's their reunion. Like it's their family.
It's their family.
You know what I mean? They have an attachment to the story that I'm telling. So that was really special. And getting to, you know, Rosie getting to spend time with family in San Jose. We stayed at a really cool Airbnb. Alex stayed with us and we went and spent some time with my family and Alex just blended right in. Everybody loves Alex. Gente Latino. Yes, gente Latino, he says. then we went and got Manny Pedis.
Senor Alex.
Yeah, Senor Alex came with us to get Manny Pedis. Oh, and okay, so this is funny. We went to the nail salon in San Jose and like, how isn't it ironic? me being at a nail salon in San Jose.
It's like you're going back to the scene of the crime.
Yeah, totally. 100%. And so we're sitting there in the pedicure chairs and Alex is there like downloading footage.
I also didn't want to know. I saw a photo of you and you're in sunglasses. You have a hoodie up. It's like you are trying to be so incognito.
Full incognito at the nail salon. Everything hoods
nothing
up.
To see here. Hey,
I'm back, baby.
Thank you.
I actually didn't grow up going to this nail salon. This is my mom's new nail salon that she goes to. That's her favorite. So what happened was is we got mani pedis and at the end I had taken my rings off and put them in a little jar. And the lady went to pick up my rings to give them back to me, and she dropped two of them. One of them fell into the pedicure bowl. One of them yeah. bounced out, and we couldn't find the one that bounced out.
Oh, no.
We looked everywhere. They employed Alex to come and lift up all the pedicure chairs to look. Because right, they were like, right. there's some muscles. Get over right. here, bad boy. And then
turns out you were just the only man there.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out they mistaken height for strength is what happened. Yeah. So he's lifting up the pedicure chairs while they're all looking with flashlight
so
phones
funny.
And like their broom like sweeping underneath.
Oh my word.
We couldn't find it. And I was like, it's whatever. I wasn't feeling well. I'm like, I gotta go lay
down. I assume
down.
It wasn't anything a part of your wedding band.
Girl.
It was.
If it was, That would be a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it was my cute little gold stackables that I got in New York at the Chelsea Market. But they're like actual gold. So that's kind of sad because they weren't just like my clears pretend that turn your finger green.
Sure.
These were like my real ones. And they were cute little stackables that I've had for years. Years and years. I don't know how long I've had these. So many years. So I was disappointed, but I wasn't like going to make a big deal about it. I'm like, it's whatever. If you find it, here's my phone number, you know, whatever. So then we leave. And then a few days later, my mom goes back for her nail appointment to get her actual nails put back on. And she said this lady felt so bad. She was crying.
Oh, no.
My mom was hugging her. Oh, no. And she was like, she felt so bad that she lost my ring. And I was like, oh, my gosh, please tell her it's okay. It's not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. She was like, oh, my God, no. She was hugging me and crying and felt so bad. poor thing. But, yeah, so we had a great time in San Jose. And then moving on, my sister in Austin joined us on the bus, and that was fun to have them. We filmed some content with them. We did an episode of the bus series with them, which is going to be very funny when it comes out. And then we got to Spokane, and we had another family type reunion with my dad's side of the family, because all my dad's side is here in Idaho, which is like a 30-minute drive from Spokane. So we went and had a family reunion there, and I had cousins, aunts, and uncles fly in from Arizona, from all over Idaho, and we just met up there. You didn't come, because you're too good for us, I guess. But Alex came. You know Alex gonna be there. No, we had a good time. We ordered food.
I was working.
Yeah.
I did work.
Danielle has a lot to get done, you guys. As you know, we talk about all her jobs that she has here on this team. But it was so great to see cousins that I never get to see out here in Idaho, and aunts and uncles and my dad's side of the family. And they all came to the show.
Who's ever randomly in Idaho?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the last time we all got together was at one of my shows again.
That one I was at. 2 years ago, almost to the date.
Yeah.
We were in Spokane at the comedy club.
Uh-huh.
And we drove.
Yeah.
And you were, Rosie was baby.
Baby. She wasn't even a year old yet. And now it just got bigger because everybody heard we did that last time. And so like, oh, we'll fly in and we'll make it like a bigger deal. So a bunch of cousins flew in and it was great. It was great to see everybody. And for Rosie to see everybody, and my cousins were so thoughtful and brought her so many toys to play with, because like she's the only little kid, you know, because I started real late. So everybody else's kids is grown. But yeah, it was special to spend some time with family and be on the family reunion tour.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. Other than like fighting a virus, I'm happy. I'm doing good. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Good. For sure.
Good. I'm so glad you're happy. Alex, are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're always happy.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Do you get sad?
Do you get sick?
I'm actually medically happy.
You're medically
happy. Oh. He was actually too sad for a while. He's happy on doctor's orders.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, at this time, I don't need medicine to be happy. But you know what? Stick around.
Who's your medicine is cafecito.
Yeah, right here.
That's
this
Danielle's
is the second
medicine.
Cup of today. I know, and I did, even when I got this one, I looked at the girl and I said, what time do you guys close?
Stop.
And she goes, 4, and I go, this may be my last one today, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. See if I
well,
hop
I
in there.
Well, I have those two in the fridge.
3:58 p.m. going, what do you got left?
Girl. Yeah.
Hey, just whatever's in the pot, just toss it in here.
Hilarious.
I know. I'm at the point now that I don't know that it affects me at all anymore. Like
it's placebo
the
at this point?
I think it's more mental.
Yeah.
It's more, there are a thousand bajillion million percent when I feel stressed out, I grab a cup of coffee, one sip, and I go, so much better. I'm like, ugh.
Hey, but sometimes that first sip is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That is.
You've said that. Yeah.
I stand by that.
Yeah.
if it's a real good cup. Mm-hmm. I've never said All Holy Spirit on a Keurig K-cup, but
no, me either.
On a real cup of coffee, moggle. There have been times where I've taken a sip and I'm like, Jesus, you are real.
You know what? Actually, I do feel God in this Chili's tonight. You know,
Holy Spirit, I rededicate my life.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Jallelujah. Yes. There was a trend going around of people posting 2016 versus 2026 and like how you've changed and woo woo woo. And I did my post. Did you do a post?
I didn't post anything, but it was going on when I was cleaning out my closet and I found the iconic army green jacket that we all wore in 2016.
Oh my gosh.
And I put it on and it still felt, it fits so amazing. It also, we don't make quality clothes anymore. Uh-huh. And that jacket was 50% cotton, 50% linen, a rarity.
Yeah.
And it was so soft.
No polyester.
Very nice. I put it on and there was a brief moment where I thought, I could bring this back.
Do it.
Like, this is kind of, this is like a little bit still cute.
And remember the army jackets? That was not 2016. That was just like fewer years ago. Everybody wearing the military army jackets. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my 2016 versus 2026. Oh, yeah. Look,
I have a picture of me in that jacket. Oh, my God. That's the jacket.
So cute. You look the same.
So moody, huh?
You look the same.
Thank you.
So cute. All right. From my post, one of the pictures that I posted was me and Manny dressed up for Halloween. And this is one of my favorite costumes we've ever done.
Oh.
And this was to go to Eliza Schlesinger's Halloween party. And I was Mariska Hargitay, Detective Olivia Benson. And he was Ice-T.
Naturally.
Finn.
Finn?
Finn Tutuola.
I thought you said Finn.
No, Finn. He was also very thin back then. He was Finn Tutuola. And Manny don't watch the show. He don't know any of this stuff. But I was like, trust me, babe, just put this on. And it was great. I loved it. And I had a Mariska Hargitay mask because a fan of mine, I forget what city we were in, brought me Mariska. Detective Hot Guy, I call him. Why can I not think of his
Stabler?
Name? Stabler, but the Latino guy and Stabler.
Oh, yeah.
Why can I not think of his name? Gosh, my brain is everywhere. Christopher Maloney, Mariska Hargitay, and I can't remember his name, but he was Latino guy on SVU for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they brought me their faces on a stick so you can hold it in front of you. And I loved it. And so for Halloween, I dressed up as Detective Olivia Benson and I held up her face in front of me. And then
so
Manny did not have Finn's face. He was just his own face, which is very similar in complexion. And he just pulled his afro back in a ponytail and he had his like goatee facial hair. And I was like, perfect. If you get it, you get it. And I love it.
Yeah.
And then we had like little detective badges and stuff to wear.
So cute.
So I posted that. I also posted, this was a good video. This was, Joe Coy and I for a brief second did the BFF tour and this was us being best friends and we toured together and I think we did 3 stops on the BFF tour and that was it.
Oh,
but he had his DJ and at the end he would dance and it was like the dun, 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 dun. And he would do the dance of like if he was the singer and I was like, oh my gosh, I'll run out and do that dance with you. And so one of the videos I posted was him doing that and me running out on stage and the crowd going crazy because I was dancing right next to him doing the choreography and we did the choreography
so
together.
Funny.
So that was fun. Oh my gosh, the mannequin challenge.
Oh,
the mannequin challenge.
We used to have challenges.
Yeah.
Remember, there were always...
Plank.
Plank. There was always so many challenges.
Back when the internet was fun. Just kidding. the mannequin challenge. When I tell you, I had the best mannequin challenge. I stand by this. Because everybody was doing... The mannequin challenge is where you pan across the room and everybody in the room is frozen doing whatever they were doing. They were taking a drink. They were, you know, whatever. And everybody was getting really creative with their mannequin challenges at work, at home. Alex.
How about you practice the mannequin challenge right now?
Yeah, Alex. My mom's actually still frozen from that.
Hilarious. Oh, my word. He ordered Raisin Cane's again, and it has arrived.
It has arrived. That's if you hear him yeah. eating in the background, everybody.
Mr. Cane, if you're looking to sponsor someone.
Mr. Cane, boy, do we have your biggest fan? I have.
Yeah, where's your Raising Kings sweater? I have it. Did you bring it with you?
You jerk. It's his good sweater.
So it's his good sweater.
Okay, back to the mannequin challenge.
Right.
So everybody was getting really creative with their mannequin challenges, and I started seeing some at like concerts, like a big arena, but people are dumb and that many people. There was only like half the people were participating. So I was like, let's do the mannequin challenge at my show. This was in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I had OG with me. And so we explained it to the audience. This is what we're going to do. When I tell you this audience
they
were locked in. They were like, this is it. The moment I was born for. Like it was, these people were so good at the mannequin challenge. And so OG is out in the audience. And we start it. When I tell you, every single person participated. This was like over 1,000 people, and it's
yeah,
so
Corpus
good.
Is a big venue.
It's so good. He zooms in. There's somebody mid drink. There's a guy with his mouth open, like pointing. There was like people got real creative, and everybody was solid. All nobody messed up. It's the best mannequin challenge I've ever seen on the internet, and I just so happened to be the one to do it. So, go check it out. It's so good. It's on my Instagram. It's just
do you have
the
to
best
scroll
one.
Back to 2016 to find
no,
it?
No. It's part of my 2016 versus 2026. So mm-hmm. It was on there on January 15th if you want to check it out. Also on that collage, I have a picture of me with Christopher Maloney. My first time meeting him.
Wow.
Detective Stabler. I got invited to participate in a table read of a movie. And the movie never ended up getting made, but it was on the Fox lot, and they cast real actors to come and sit at the table read for the executives to come and listen to it. And my friend was directing it, and I sit down to read my part, and right across from me I see the name tag Christopher Maloney.
No
and
way.
I was like, oh my god, stop it. Detective Sabler's gonna be here sitting right across from me.
Like, you're gonna make eye contact.
Oh my god, we did. And I was a part of the same project with him. Like, I read my lines, he read his lines, and I was like, oh my god, same. And then afterwards, of course, I had to ask him for a picture, and so that's my goofy picture of me.
You're on Penelope's face.
Oh, JK. Well, we'll pop up all these pictures, yeah. But like,
whoa. He's got an interesting look going on in 2016.
I also did Resurrection of Gavin Stone. That was like my first leading role in a movie. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. I should tell my cousin I do have a leading role. Actually, thank you very much.
Wait,
one of my
context.
Little cousins roasting me at our family reunion the other day. He goes, hey, what's that movie you're coming out in? And I was like, oh, I Can Only Imagine Part 2. I play a doctor. And he's like, oh, cool. How come you're never like a lead role in a movie? Turd. I'm like, I don't know, bro. Hopefully one day. But I forgot I actually was the Resurrection of Gavin Stone. I was
Hello.
One of the leads. Thank you very much.
So funny.
And I remember a fun memory of this shoot with Shawn Michaels, the wrestler. You familiar with wrestling? Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, I am.
Who's Sean? He looks like a wrestler.
Shawn Michaels.
I only know the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, bless you. Okay.
And The Rock. He wrestled one time, right?
Yeah. Well, this was my fun memory.
My wrestling knowledge goes.
Shawn Michaels let me do the people's elbow on him. The people's elbow is The Rock's move.
Oh.
Okay.
What is it?
So he laid down on the ground, and ran back to this side of the ring, and I pretend to hit the rings, and I run to this side, and I pretend to hit the rings, and I stop in front of him, and I do this whole thing with my hands, and then I just like get him down on the ground.
That's hysterical.
I have a video of that. I should have posted that. I don't know where it is though.
That's funny.
But yeah, I got to do the people's elbow on Shawn Michaels, so that was fun.
Alrighty. And he was a part of the movie? That's how you met
him? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and the Bone Quiqui tour. Oh my God. The Bone Quiqui tour. Man, people. Am I grateful for that experience. I got to be a pop star.
Yeah.
I got to be a pop star. I got to sing and dance, do choreography, like professionally. I had in-ears in and everything. I had a choreographer. I had backup dancers. I had a band. I had... It was the most incredible...
Legit.
...experience. I can't believe I got to do that. I can't believe I don't have the whole show on video. I wish I did.
That is crazy.
I know. We didn't. We have like little, that's back when Instagram was 15 seconds only. So we had little 15 second clips because we were like, oh, for Instagram. Like,
sure.
God, I wish I recorded this whole show. It was such a good show. Man, it was just, we had like sketches we would do, but not really. Like, so we had video sketches that we used. We had music videos that we used. Our choreography was hilarious because the songs were hilarious. We had different props. The show started with Mal Hall would open and do stand-up comedy. And then he became part of like props and helping Manny with like props and stuff. And Manny would then open the show after Mal with his band. So his band was the band I used for my band, Group and Crew. And so Manny would do a few songs while... Oh, let me start over. I actually started it with doing 15 minutes of stand-up. Then I leave and I go backstage and I get dressed into Bon Quiqui.
That's why Manny's performing.
Yes. So then Mal would do a little bit of stand-up. And then Manny did his music all while I was getting ready. Mm-hmm. And then Bon Quiqui comes back out and finishes the show doing her 8 songs that she has. Plus some like sketches and like fun like interlude type things. Yeah.
Real variety show.
It was so good. It was such a good show. All hands on deck. My brother came on for one of the runs, Mitchell, and he was like a prop guy too, helping Manny became the prop guy after his set. He was like pulling on props, pulling them off the stage. Like it was a full production and we were moving so quick. Wardrobe changes full on. There was a part where we would pull a guy up from the audience to come up stage and like dance. And, it was like, you're going to battle us, right? Me and my professional dancers, you're gonna battle us. Okay. But then we would just play Genuine
My pony.
Yeah. And so we tricked them to have to do like a sexy dance. And they never failed. Every guy we brought on stage never failed. They always gave us just they committed. The best show ever. The crowd is going crazy.
That's so fun.
It was the best experience that I'm so absolutely grateful that I got to experience it in my life. I have so much gratitude for that season and that experience. It was amazing. And, that's also fun fact. Penelope, what's the
ACL?
The ACL. Is that what she tore?
I think so. I remember you telling me about this.
On that tour.
Yeah. Because I think I had made a comment where I said, I think about getting injured all the time.
Uh-huh.
And what would happen? Like, I can't be on a bus with a broken leg. And you said, yeah, you can.
That's right. Yeah. So Penelope was my backup dancer and my makeup artist as Bon Quiqui. And during one of the shows, she was doing the easiest move of all time. Your 2 feet are planted and you're rocking back and forth and clapping. And somehow her knee,
it's always the easiest.
That's her knee did something.
Every time I hear about somebody tearing that, they're like, I turned.
Yeah.
It's always something. They just finished the crazy move. Yeah. And then they step. Yep. And yeah.
And so she, we're on stage dancing and I see her out of the corner of my eye exit stage. She just left. And I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Something happened. And now it's just me and Dorina on stage. And this was a moment where I'm in the middle and then Penelope and Dorina on my side and they're like doing a dance towards me. And I'm like, well, this is going to look real weird with Dorina just doing this on my side. So then I just turn and face Dorina and we just start dancing with each other. Yeah. And like, we're like, I don't know where Penelope went, but we got to do our own thing. So then we get off stage. Penelope's like done for the count. Yeah. We got to take her to the hospital. Like something happened. Yeah. We find out how serious it is. Okay. So typically you'd be like, oh, well, I guess you're going home. Because you can't dance anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's like, nah, girl, you got 2 jobs. You're also my makeup artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we only had 1 bunk. Because she's 2 jobs, 1 bunk.
Oh.
So if if she leaves, we need a backup dancer and a makeup artist.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can't, this too much is happening.
Yeah.
So we only have two or three shows left on the tour. We're in Tampa where this incident happened. We get to Orlando next. Manny's from Orlando. All his backup dancers that he used when he was doing group on crew back in Orlando days are there. So he hits up his old choreographer and dancers. Do you have somebody who could come and join us for the last few shows? This girl, Bianca, learned the entire show in one day.
Wow.
And the next day performed it flawlessly.
Wow. That is so, I feel like almost every dancer can do that. And it's such a brain that I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Uh-huh.
And it's fascinating and it's so amazing. And I'm so astounded by that.
She was incredible. And it was, I forget how the sleeping situation worked because Penelope still needed to be there. We didn't have enough bunks. And then she was there. So I think like one of them slept on the couch or one of them.
Wow.
Did we share? Did me and Penn share? I don't remember. Like, I can't remember how, or maybe Manny slept on the couch and she slept in Manny's bunk. Like, we made it work. Yeah. I don't remember how, but I know we were one bunk shy. And our lighting guy, our lighting and sound guy was so big. He was like 6'7" or something, and he couldn't fit in a bunk. So he was already in the back room as the bed because he couldn't fit in a bunk. We were already to the max. We were spilling off of the bus already.
Oh, my word.
It was a wild experience. I'm just so grateful for it. Everything about it.
So you only had one bus?
Yeah. When we were all squished on the bus.
But you brought stuff. So you had the trailer?
I think we had a truck that followed us with all the equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wild. It was a wild experience. But very grateful for it. So that's my 2016 versus 2026. Now, you had a fun thing that you did in 2016. Let's talk about that.
Yes. 2016. In fact, at the beginning, January 2016, I took my first stand-up class.
Cutie!
Where did you take it? I actually took it. There was a friend of mine knew this casting director, who Leslie Wolf, shout out, who taught a stand-up class just...
Cute.
At this random casting facility in Hollywood. So we literally were at a place where they do auditions and stuff, but we had a class. It was like Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 or something like that.
What made you want to take the class?
I had done, before I moved to LA, I had done a lot of local theater in Dallas, and I was in an acting class, a weekly acting class. And I remember my acting coach at the time was always making me do these really dramatic scenes. And the whole time I remember being like, I really want to do comedy. Like, I think that's what I love. And he goes, yeah, I know you love that. He goes, you're good at it. I'm trying to get you good at other stuff. Basically he was like, you're check, funny, got it. And I was like, shut up.
I want to do what I'm good at.
I was like, oh, okay. But he basically was like, that's your comfort. That's your safe zone.
True.
And I was like, sure, I got it. I got it. But my friends in that class, it was one of those things. You're so funny. You should do stand up. You're so funny. You should do. And I was like, I don't even know how to do that. I was like, I don't want it now. I was like, that's another skill. I was like, I'm just funny. That's not a thing. And I did like improv classes, but I also hated that. Hated improv.
Nerve wracking.
So I was like, I don't think this is my thing. And so, but I had a friend who was taking the class and she was like, take this with me. She was like, just take the class with me. Just, you tried improv, you didn't like it. Try this, see if you like it. And I loved it. And we started to go to comedy shows together. And I had a blast. I had a blast in the class and I felt really good at it. Felt really confident. And Leslie was a very good teacher and I don't know. I just felt right. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I want to be in comedy. I want to work more in comedy. And I didn't know if I wanted to do, I'd continue to do stand up at little spots here and there in LA for a few years. And then I took her class again a few years later. because I felt rusty and I just was like, this will be fun. It was cheap also. I'd like to point out yours was free. I know that. I think mine was $200 and I could afford that at the time. And so I was like, let me just do this again. And
can you imagine if my class wasn't free? I wouldn't be a comedian right now.
I know.
I would.
Weird. Weird. That's wild. It's so weird to think. And yeah, so I took, so then I ended up taking her class a second time and she just was like, why are you here? And I was like, I just want to. I just want to refresh. I hadn't worked the muscle in a while and I just felt like I couldn't. I had taken time off and I just felt like my friend who I took the class with, we weren't friends anymore. And she had moved on and I had no one else. I knew no one else doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to take it again. And I took her same class again a few years later. And now one of my best friends that I have is from that class, my friend Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like started her. Hosting our own shows. And yeah, but 2016 was the start.
Did you think you were going to be a comedian? Were you like, I'm going to be a stand-up? This is my thing.
Not necessarily. I knew that I really loved it and I enjoyed it and I liked being in that space, in that scene, if you will. And I thought, I mean, I did post some of my stuff online and, but it wasn't necessarily like, I'm going to do this forever. But I thought I would like to do something like this forever. Yeah. I would like to, basically was like, comedy is where I want to be. And I had later that year, 2017 is when I started first working in television and I loved it, but I hated the format that I was in. I did not want to be in unscripted reality shows. That's what I was doing. I tried really hard to get into sitcoms and other comedy stuff. I just knew I was, I want to be in comedy. That is where I want to be. And I very much was in the mindset of, I love comedy and I want to be in a part of comedy so badly. I will take any job they will give me. At first, I wanted to be in television. So that's why I took that job in unscripted television, because I just was like, I just want to give me a hand, just a taste of it, please. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be in television. And so, but comedy then quickly kind of overpowered the need to be in television. Now it was like, I need to be in comedy. And I was willing to take any aspect. And so I started meeting people in stand up and I thought, okay, maybe this is a route. What do you do? What do you like? Yeah. Oh, but I do know that there were people. I would be on these shows. There are all these bringer shows. All these shows where you get a better spot in the lineup if you have people checking in, going, "Yeah, I'm here to see Danielle." That's what a bringer show is. If you don't know what that is, and they're awful. They suck. I hate that format. I hate, because you don't get any money, so you're making money for these promoters of these shows at the Comedy Store or wherever. You don't see any of that, but you're doing all the work. And I also too, I'm asking my friends who are also still kind of struggling to buy the ticket and then
and
also
two drink minimum.
And so I didn't mind getting them at the first show.
Yeah.
But when it was the second and third, I thought, I can't ask them to do this again. Yeah. This is so much money. And at the time in 2016, 2017, We're all still at our early entry jobs. Now my friends are fine.
And
like, we go drop $70 at a dinner anytime.
Yeah.
But at the time I was still working half TV, half part-time job.
Right.
Same with all my friends. And so I just thought, this sucks. And then also,
not only that, you're asking your friends to pay for the ticket, pay for the two drink minimum at a bringer show. The bringer show is going to be the newest of news of comedians.
Exactly.
So they're paying at least $35-$40 bucks for a subpar show.
Mediocre at best.
Yeah.
And it's, and some of the comedians, sorry to those comedians, there were comedians where I thought, and what's your day job? What is your other job? Go back to that.
Let's not lose that one.
It was, And I thought, you know, okay, sure, this could be like a fun hobby, but this is like a lot of work. And I thought, I don't know that I want it as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
And I still love it. What I really fell in love with was when my friend Steph and I were producing our own show that I put so much time and effort and money into that. I was like, oh, I love this. I love creating a space for people. But when I was doing it myself, I think that's what led to that, because I got so frustrated with the bringer shows. I got so frustrated with people who suck getting a platform. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I remember even like with the lineups, there was this one guy, I won't say his name is, still doing bringer shows at the Comedy Store. Mm. Everybody knows who he is. Mm. And he's the one putting this lineup together, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these comedians and I'm thinking, oh, this entire section over here cheered for that guy. That's why he's got this second slot. Because at bringer shows, you want the earlier slot.
Yeah.
And whereas other times, it's usually you want the end, but it's because people leave.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And it was bad. It was so bad. And I just thought, how can you stand there and produce this show and look at this guy and be like, yep, get him in the second spot.
Yeah.
I was like, it's bad. It was so bad. I was like, it's offensive. It's not even funny. His punchline is the F word. That's not a good joke.
No.
And so I think I got so irritated that I was like, I'm gonna do my own show. I'm doing my own show. This sucks. And so I started producing my own show with my friend Stephanie, and I rented this space that this Fourth Wall Comedy Club. They still do comedy shows there. I charged everyone $5 donation,
mm-hmm.
which they all inclined. They all paid it. It was nice. I think I broke even as far as the rental space fee. But I also was in a time where I had consistent work. And so I was like, I don't care if I lose money on this. I just want to put out good comedy. And I wanted to promote. Steph and I were very particular about who we chose to be on the show.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, I was like, I don't want to just put, you know, your buddy Steven because he does comedy after work. No, I need to know. We would go to shows and specifically.
How long did you produce it for?
We only got two shows in.
Aww.
Because it was 2020 when we started it.
Oh, no.
Yes. And we always intended to pick it back up. And then I started working for you and I ran out of time.
What? At the time, what did you know about me when you were pursuing like the stand-up comedy route? Because I do remember our mutual friend who introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember her reaching out and being like, hey, my friend's starting to do stand-up. Can you watch her set and give her some notes? And I remember watching your set.
And you did. You
and,
gave me notes.
And I gave, I don't remember what the notes were. Do you remember what the notes
I
were?
I do remember the notes.
Oh my God, what were the notes?
Yes. So this is always so funny to me. Jesse, our mutual friend, was someone I met very early on when I first moved to LA. I believe I met her within 6 months of moving to LA. And I remember the first time I learned that she was friends with you, still kills me to this day. We're at dinner at a pizza restaurant. Her parents are there. And her mom is like asking me, and I had just taken this class. And I think Jesse came to the showcase potentially.
Cute.
And I was just talking about it. And I was like, yeah, it's so fun. And her mom was like, is this something you want to pursue? And I said, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. Like, I kind of want to see where it goes, you know, see what happens. And I go, I've got other people telling me I'm good at it. So, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you should talk to Jesse's friend, Ange. She does stand up too. The way that she is saying it, I'm thinking she's doing bringer shows too. Like
me and Ange out here struggling.
I don't know. And you know, everybody there is the same age. And so I'm just thinking, oh yeah, you know, just another 20 something gal out here trying to live the dream, you know, like that is the way that this is presented to me. And so I'm just like, yeah, sounds great. And I would like to preface, I absolutely know who you are.
Okay.
I'm not making the connection. And then Jesse goes, yeah, you should look her up, Angela Johnson. And I went, okay. I'm sorry, one more time. What was that name? And she was like, Angela Johnson. And I go, and this is a friend of yours? And she goes, yeah. And I go, and she does stay like around town or something. And she's like, yeah, she's been on tour. And I was like, okay. Do you mean the comedian Angela Johnson? Like funny. Nail salon stuff? And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I went, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And I was like, she doesn't want to talk to me. I was like, I did one show at the comedies, at the improv from a class. I was thinking, oh, that's no. Funny. I'm like, I can't, where this is different level. I can't.
That's so funny.
I was like, okay. And then I didn't. And then I just was like, sure. And then, I don't know.
Y'all, get right on that.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Nito Felito. But then I do eventually meet you, but it was.
But she sent me your clip.
Yeah.
What were my notes? What did I give you? Do you remember?
Well, I think she sent you the video clip from the second time I took the class.
Oh, okay.
And which I would like to say my jokes second time around, I liked them more. I did improve.
Good.
I got better. I still, your biggest note was that you said I talked too fast. Like you could tell I was like a little nervous. Uh-huh. And I was yeah. nervous. I absolutely was nervous. Cause it is, I love performing. I love being on stage. If you've been to any of the shows that do the announcement, I have no problem talking to a crowd, but I think I get in my head because I'm going, you know, this is something I wrote. This yeah. is something I think is funny.
Yeah.
And I'm desperately wanting you to think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I will be sad if you don't think it's funny. Like that's. And I also am thinking, there was a lot of people that got up on stage before me that were bad. Do you yeah. think I'm also that bad? Oh, like, that's yeah. where I am in my head.
Yeah, is that how I sound?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my word.
Uh-huh.
And, but she sent you that. So your biggest note was that you were just, you said, just get on the stage more. Just practice stage presence and not being so, I think you could, like, at one point see my hand kind of shake.
Oh.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Poor thing.
So it, but you... You said I was funny. You said I had good material and just needed to flesh yeah. it out more. And
I saw it.
Yeah. I think your note that got me was, cause I think my biggest question was like, is this a waste of my time?
Uh huh.
And you said, no, there's potential. Like keep going.
Nice.
And I definitely felt yeah, yes. Okay. This is your friend. You're doing your friend a favor.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know you that well at the time, but to me, I was like, you seemed like someone who wouldn't say that lightly.
Yeah.
I got the sense that if you genuinely thought I was bad, you would have just said something like good effort, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Like it, your note just felt, I mean, if you didn't think someone should pursue uh-huh. this, you wouldn't yeah. have said, keep going.
I would have been like, you got an uphill battle, kid.
Yeah.
You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And I don't even remember what, I know I have that videotape somewhere. I don't even remember what.
We should watch it.
I know.
Oh my God, find it.
I'm pretty sure it's on and my Google Drive. But
we'll put it up on the Fungula Instagram page. Oh my God, we're going to do it. We're going to find yeah. it, you guys.
Yeah, I do remember liking one of my old jokes. Within the first 6 months of living in LA, I rented this room from this lady's house.
Which is an incredible story that you have to.
Yeah. And I made a joke about how I started calling her mom and
yeah.
all this stuff.
Just the story in itself.
Yeah. Is weird.
You should write it as a short story and
I should.
And publish it.
Yeah.
Because
it's funny.
A good one.
It's funny.
It's an odd only mm-hmm. in LA.
Oh, 1,000%.
Moving to LA to pursue your dreams. 1,000%. Do what you got to do type yeah. situation. And I think it's worth a publishing.
Isn't it wild to think back to, I am in the process of moving to Nashville. I know we've brought it up a lot of times. And it is so funny to think of how I'm handling this process compared to when I moved to LA.
Uh-huh.
And how this is very much like, no, I don't like that apartment. No, I want to be in this neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Whereas LA was just, well, that's all I can fit in my Ford Fiesta. Let's get on the road. Where yeah. are you going to stay? My friend's got a couch.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. I think I could never do that now.
Here's a Craigslist ad.
Yeah. And that's Not literally. Odd. And then I moved into that yeah. lady's house on yeah. a Facebook post.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy. If you're going to do something crazy and you're in your mid 20s, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it is what
Live,
I say.
Honey. Live.
Yeah. But that all, I guess this whole life journey started in 2016.
Exciting.
I guess so. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. I'm grateful for 2016. My 2016 was stellar. Looking back at those yeah. posts, at all the pictures of 2016 when I went to make my post, mm-hmm. I was like, this was an incredible year. Like, I did so many cool things. I was super happy. And of course, it's not like a whole year of just success mm-hmm. and wins and happiness, mm-hmm. but there were some really fun wins. There was some fun stuff happening in 2016. So I'm very yeah. grateful for 2016.
And
I'm grateful for 2026. I hope 2026 ends up being the same kind of year.
I took really good headshots
she's
that year
cute.
Too.
Look how cute she is. she's on a soap opera. That's yeah. what that one was giving.
Yeah. I was still trying to, you know, get auditions and stuff like that. So.
All right. We're past an hour.
So no mattitudes really yeah. for 2016. Any quick
mattitude? My mattitude of 2016 is I didn't record the whole Bunk
oh,
Week We show.
Yeah.
That's my mattitude. I wish I had that whole show yes. recorded so I could go back and watch it and put it on YouTube and let everybody see it. I wish I had that recorded. That's my attitude of 2016.
And looking at my 2016 photos, I'm mad that I ever thought I was fat in 2016.
Isn't that the looking, oh my God,
I'm going, what in the world? Yeah. What are we? Yeah. What are we doing?
It's wild.
Yeah.
We'll do voicemails and stuff a different episode because we're like way over, right?
Okay.
Aren't we?
Once we splice it together, we're right at an hour, so it's fine.
We'll save it for the next one.
You want to save it?
Okay. Yeah. We'll save. You guys, thank you so much for joining us on our first episode back on the road. Mm. And thanks for listening. Don't forget, like and subscribe. Do all the things. We forgot to do that in the beginning. I think we just jumped right in.
We did.
Yeah. Like and subscribe.
You can still do that now.
You can do it now. Go.
Leave us a review.
Yeah. Tell everybody about the podcast. Yeah. You know what I mean? Do what you do. Love
ask
you guys.
Ask us questions. Tell us.
Leave us a voicemail.
Leave us a, yeah.
Email. Ask us a question. You need advice? Clearly, we're very smart.
We've lived a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Give us a call at 747-300-5380. You can leave us a voicemail there. You can also text that number. So you can even text me if you are voice shy. I don't know. You can also email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And if you are on Angela's website, which is angela.com, there is a form there. And of course, you can also get tickets for some of the remaining dates have coming out.
That's
just
right.
A few left.
Getting ready to tape my next hour special. So we're gearing up for that. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.